Blog Talk Radio.
Good. Hi, everybody. This is All Exits Closed, and I have my friends today who is going to talk about the origin of the student loan debt crisis. I have Steve Greenfield and Zach Garofalo. So, Steve, we did shows together before. Why don't you get started, introduce yourself, and why this issue is important to you?
Well, you know, I am a lifelong activist on economic and social justice issues, peace issues, issues of basically improving the United States, making it run more smoothly, more justly for everybody, more productively and inclusively for everybody. And so the extent of the student debt crisis that we're in right now is very, very much part of that. And I don't mind saying that with one daughter who's in her first year of college and a senior in high school and a third right behind her, that this issue of how we finance higher education in an economy in which jobs that don't require education, like mining, agriculture, and manufacturing, are down to less than 9% of the total employees of this country. So it's a matter of bona fide critical importance to the future of this country as a whole, even for people that are not attending college or have attended college and finished paying it off some time ago. So let's just get that as to where who I am. You know, I've run for office several times. I did win two terms to the New Paltz Central School District Board of Education. I served for 6 years. I was the chairperson of the policy committee for three of those years. So I'm very, very deeply imbued with education policy and operating educational institutions. It's just a little bit about my background coming in here. And of course, my own memory of having gone to what was in its time and still to this day at the top tier of expense in college education. I went to Columbia in New York, which was at that time and still was at the very top of the expense of going to college. And when I was going there, I was able to get by on $2,500 worth of loans a year, a total of $10,000 in debt. And that's nowhere near what people coming out of that college and colleges of a similar expense are going through today. And in fact, it's less than a third of what a typical graduate of a public college is carrying when they leave college today. So it is far too late for us to be treating this as a serious problem.
Jack?
Well, thank you, Cynthia and Steve, for convening this. I'm Zach Garofalo, and I'm like millions of young Americans. I did what we were basically instilled to do growing up, go to high school and then go on to college. And I came out of college with, you know, a significant amount of student loans. I'm 10 years out of college at this point in time. And, you know, this is the single greatest issue facing the long-term economic stability of our country. One in four young Americans are in default at this point in time. And if we do not confront this crisis now, then we're going to have a whole generation of young Americans who are unable to save and ultimately unable to create a pathway to the middle class. So this is a very important issue to me.
Let me just add one thing. Which is that I'm a little older than Zach, and I first entered college back in 1978, roughly the year that that people who are following the economy discuss as just about when the wages and salaries in the United States relative to inflation flattened out and have stayed flat for the entire 40 plus years of that time. And over that same period of time, the cost of attending to college has gone up six or sevenfold, which, you know, relative to inflation means that it's more than doubled relative to inflation, while wages and salaries have remained flat. So the piece of any working person's wages or salaries that now have to go to financing college education relative to the amount that people are earning has more than doubled over the last 40 years. And of course, during that same time, the mid-1970s, was the time when public college in this country, which used to be tuition-free all throughout the country, was being changed to partially tuition-paid systems so that there's no longer any free college in this country at all. So that's an important part of the discussion, too, for people to understand that the cost of attending college today, relative to what people are earning, has more than doubled.
So we are in the midst of the next presidential election, and it seems as though none of the candidates are addressing the issue of student debt. Let's start with you, Steve. Why is this issue so important? Why isn't it addressed? And why are we doing it?
All right. Well, let's get the basics of it out there first, for starters, so people can understand, you know, the real nature of what we're talking about here. This, you know, not just what the problem is, but the scale of the problem, what it represents in the larger economy, so that people can understand that it's not just about people who want to go to college, because we did have a financial meltdown in this country as recently as 2008, which was because of policymakers declining ongoing advice to address a building debt crisis that was happening in the mortgage market. And we're doing the exact same thing now in the student loan market. The outstanding debt right now in the student loan market is about $1.6 trillion. And the number of people carrying that debt is about 44 million people. The default rate at this time, which is only going to grow on those loans, is running at about 12%. So we're talking about 600,000 student loans being defaulted. That's defined as being delinquent in payment for at least 90 days, and your guarantor is calling in the loan, so that you lose your credit rating for basically for the rest of your life at that point. And you know, so that's the scale of the problem that we're looking at, right? We're looking at 44 million people who are defaulting at the rate of about 600,000 defaults per year over a total of $1.6 trillion. So, you know, the same thing that was happening back in the early 2000s with the banks dividing up these loans into separate investment instruments that are dependent on the insurance industry guaranteeing collection of those loans, and default on those loans going into double-digit proportions like the student loans are today, is what caused the financial collapse of 2008. And so we're heading to that problem again right now by the exact same means by which we headed for that problem back at that time. And another thing, unfortunately, that makes this problem even riskier than the mortgage default crisis that started unfolding in mid-2008 is that student loans, unfortunately, and I'm going to name names here, okay? It's Joe Biden, who's currently the top person polling in the Democratic primaries, who put an amendment onto a bankruptcy bill that specifically made student loans the only kind of debt from which you cannot be discharged in a bankruptcy, in a personal bankruptcy proceeding. You can discharge your auto loan. You can discharge your home mortgage. There's only one kind of loan that can't be discharged. I mean, Joe Biden turned student loans into loan sharking. You know, you're gonna pay that no matter what. You default and lose your credit rating when you default, and then you still have to pay it even if you declare and get certified by a court for actually being in personal bankruptcy. And it is the only loan form that has that specific exemption. The whole purpose of bankruptcy is to restructure or discharge loans so that the person in bankruptcy or the business in bankruptcy can struggle their way back out into solvency from that situation. Joe Biden is the person who exempted student loans from that and made this problem 100 times worse than it would have been on its own, which is already bad enough. So that's the threat that we're under of another banking collapse, right, as the loans continue to be defaulted upon, as the derivatives that were built out of those loans then remain unprofitable, and the insurance companies, just like in 2008, become too burdened to pay off the payoff they promised as insurers on the defaulting of those loans. So that's really what we're looking at. I want to correct you on one thing. There are a couple of candidates who are talking about discharging this debt, right? Obviously, Bernie Sanders makes it central. He talks about it constantly, has been talking about it even going back to his previous candidacy and as a senator for quite some time. And Elizabeth Warren has been talking about it as well, although for whatever reason, as with Medicare for All, we've seen her been subject to a little bit more bullying from the rest of the candidates and from our power structure in general about doing that. But we do have two candidates, and Elizabeth Warren being perhaps this nation's greatest expert on debt management and financial infrastructure in the banking industry. I have to commend her in particular that her input on this should be taken at the expert level that it is offered. She was actually testifying in Congress long before she was known to the public when Obama appointed her. Long before that, she had a very public spat with Joe Biden while testifying in Congress against this exemption being carved out for student loans. So let's give some credit to Elizabeth Warren and to Bernie Sanders into having the right position on this, that it doesn't just simply need to be modified and moderated. It needs, at this point, it's at a level of risk to our economy that it needs to be completely discharged.
So, Zach, when you're talking to your friends, does the subject of student loan debt ever come up, and how do you guys feel about it?
Oh, I'd like to toss that one over to Zach.
Yes, it is to Zach.
It's a very frequent topic of conversation. I mean, the vast majority of people my age, a little older, and also younger, have some sort of student loan burden on them. And this, this can be from college. It can be from going on to get graduate degrees because it's very difficult now to, just enter the workforce after college. It can be from trade schools. It can be from the for-profit colleges that prey on vulnerable people. But yes, it is a real problem. I have a few friends who, went to pharmacy school and they are over $250,000 in the red. So at this point in time, they are making a very good wage right out of school. But all of that money is going right back to, right back to the lender. I have a couple of friends who are lawyers, and it's the same thing. And then on the flip side, friends who went to trade school but have to take out loans to be able to do that. So what it's really doing is it's prohibiting young Americans from being able to do things that were commonplace in the past: buy a home, begin to save for retirement, build that financial safety net that you are going to need to be able to participate in this global economy. So it's a huge issue, and as Steve said, the only candidates as of now who are really presenting, I think, viable solutions to this are Senators Warren and Sanders. But there needs to be some sort of comprehensive reform, whether it's discharging all of these loans, and then also at the same time promoting trades as a viable and equally prestigious pathway to the middle class. Right now, I mean, it's like go to college. That's the mantra that we're all dancing to. But that's not necessarily the case, and we also need to look at restructuring public colleges, having states invest more, rather than institutionalization, jails and psychiatric facilities. Those need money too, but so does education, and it starts with investment on the local and state levels with some federal incentives.
Yeah, let me bring in another element here.
Okay.
Let me bring in another element to what Zach was just talking about as he was closing out there. I grew up in a household. My father was a member of IBEW Local 3 in New York, the electrical union. And I've had many of my family members, cousins and friends and other people in the trades, in carpentry and plumbing, and all the major trades. And the way that people were traditionally, and still are traditionally brought into the trades is by getting hired as an apprentice within the unions, right? Okay, Zach, you probably know this. You would get hired and trained, and then you'd work your way up from apprentice to journeyman to master, right? Your pay rates would go up accordingly. And one of the things that, that the construction industry was getting as a benefit to the owners of the companies, people never talk about what do unions do for the employers. You know, we only talk about what workers. What the construction trade unions were doing for employers was assuring them, because of that process, that the employers were in part for by their contribution to union dues, was guaranteeing that any time a tradesperson was hired through one of the trade unions, that that job was going to be done correctly the first time. It was going to be done right. An apprentice was going to be supervised by a journeyman, by a master, that the work was going to be done flawlessly. One of the problems that we have right now is that that was a way for people who wanted to go into the trades to be trained for free. They were being trained on the job. You know, with the decimation of unions, we no longer have that system operating on that kind of scale. And people who want to go into the trades today need to go to community college, and that means they need to figure out how to pay for it out of their own pockets. You know, there's, yeah, there's so many facets to this problem that it's mind-roasting. And I also want to throw in one more thing because it's important to mention. We should not only be talking about Democrats with this question. Obviously, Howie Hawkins, Jill Stein, who ran for the Green Party presidential candidate, she was for completely forgiving all existing student debt. I am personally, I ran for Congress last year as a Green in favor of discharging all existing student debt. We do need to start contemplating that if the Democratic Party remains tethered as it is to the banking industry, and continues to put the nation as a whole at risk from another banking collapse, and then, of course, all the debt we'll incur to bail out the banking industry again, it's probably time to look at other parties, the candidates from other parties, if for no other reason than to put pressure on the major parties that they better take it seriously or risk losing voters.
So when I went down, there was a phrase called upward mobility. You don't hear much of that phrase anymore. Why do you think that was taken away from young people?
You know, we've talked about this before. Basically, we all got into the habit of ignoring productivity gains in the economy as a whole, you know, being passed along as corresponding wage gains, and all of the gains in productivity were accruing to ownership, to the people that the workers were working for. And as that became more and more entrenched and more accepted, you know, this is another element of the student loan crisis that we're in. And it, you know, it's not a random thing. It actually serves a function because it makes people go into majors. You know, Zach was just talking about people who went to pharmacy school. The degree of having to finance your education through loans ends up requiring that you look at your college education specifically as a career investment, and that you major in something not necessarily that you're interested in, not necessarily something that you're best at. But one of the things that the system that we live under, the economic system that we live under, gives back its highest financial rewards. In other words, the things that the system needs white-collar people doing in order to keep it operating in the way that it's running. If you're not going to be able to make a wage at a job with which you can pay back your student debt, you're not going to major in that. And so broad sectors of human interest and the economy and our culture are being laid to waste because we're basically creating debt slaves, indentured servants to the white collar world, because of fear of defaulting due to inadequate wage. So the way that people decide what they want to major in now is increasingly a function. We see college recruitment brochures always putting return on investment at the top of their appeal to potential entering students. You know, I'm living through this. Like I said, three kids of college age now. And this is just a real terribly destructive thing unless you're an investor of some kind, an owner, someone operating a large capital enterprise, because you need white-collar workers. You need switch operators. And so you want more and more people going into those fields. And then you end up basically getting the money back that you're paying them because you're the collection agency. You're the bank that extended this credit and is getting the interest back on it. It's a phenomenal system of debt peonage applying to the white-collar employee world. You know, this is unprecedented. Debt servitude used to be the blue-collar suppression. Now it is basically a way of forcing and recruiting people into white-collar jobs but keeping them at working-class compensation.
Zach, do you and your friends ever talk about upward mobility?
Yeah, I mean, I think basically as it pertains to being able to buy a house, save for retirement, and, you know, do what many of our parents were able to do. And I think that's what's really important about All Exits Closed in terms of educating people about basically the crisis that we're living through right now, and that if it remains unaddressed, that people will not be able to find a pathway literally to the middle class.
So yeah, we have just a few more minutes, Steve.
Yes. You know, if you are now burdened, you're leaving college and you're burdened under, you know, $40,000 of debt, $200,000 worth of debt. Even if you delay marriage and home purchasing and childbearing until you're in your mid to late 30s, as so many people are doing, that used to be, you've already gone past the amount of time where you're single and able to live cheaply. You're not feeding extra mouths in your family. You can live with roommates. That was the time of your life when you were saving, right? Now, you first reach the time of life when you might be able to start saving because your student loans are finally paid off and you're actually living off the pay that you're making at your job. But then that becomes the time that you're now marrying and having children. And so your expenses quadruple at that point. And you've lost, as Zach was just mentioning, all ability to start setting aside for your retirement, to start setting aside for your own children's college education, which is going to happen 18 years later. The whole system is a snake eating its own tail. And, you know, upward mobility right now, your best odds at that is by getting a winning lotto ticket.
Yeah, and to build off of that, so, like, in terms of saving for retirement, you're going to get, like, people who can funnel away money now, meaning, like, in their – like right out of college and through, you know, mid-30s, late-40s, that's when you're going to make – that's when the interest is going to – if you can build a little nest egg now, which so many people are not, you know, and also keep in mind a lot of people are working in – you know, they're driving Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, all the other things to supplement their income. If you're not able to stow away money now and secure your financial future, we're basically creating and then also throw in the uncertainty around Social Security. That's going to be bankrupt pretty soon as it's currently set up. And so, you know, in terms of upward mobility, that basically as a concept and as a lifestyle does not really exist. People are throwing so much stuff on credit cards. You know, if they are fortunate enough to own a home, you know, it's thrown a lot of the purchases are then thrown on a credit card. So it's like it's all interconnected. I read something somewhere about the number of people who had, you know, access to $1,000 in a savings account, and the, you know, the percentage, and this is for the whole population, it was abysmally low. Like if some sort of catastrophe were to happen, you know, a large percentage of the American people are unable to actually access that cash flow right now. And then everything's just thrown on, you know, just thrown on a card. Now you take student loans and student debt, like, you know, and I'm among the relatively lucky people. I mean, I pay about 600 and change a month in student loans. I'm somewhat fortunate with the stuff that I have, but I'd be squirreling away much more money into retirement, and I'm sure my friends would too, if student loans were more manageable. Like $600 is a large chunk of change, but then I look at people, some of my friends who went to professional school, who are paying like over literally $2,000 a month. That is not sustainable. That is a huge travesty to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's not a Democratic issue. It's not a Republican issue. This is an American issue that impacts our national security and the economic stability of our country.
Right. And
so,
since we're probably – yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Cynthia. Go ahead. Let me – you go.
We're out of time, so – We will take this issue up further. For everybody listening to this, please follow All Exits Closed on Twitter. And if anybody listening to this has anything to add to this or would like to talk about another aspect of this problem, please follow All Exits Closed and send me a direct message. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Zach. And this will be an ongoing dialogue until the problem is solved. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.